Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This radio program, This Thought Song, is for Saturday, November the 21st, 2015. And I'm very grateful you chose to be with me as we take a look today at some pedestrian ideas about Thanksgiving, the meaning of it, yada, yada, yada. I have collected these over, a year or two, and here they are finally being answered. Seasonal questions get seasonal response, as you might know. Get prepared for, maybe some of the questions you might ask. There are some interesting and, pedestrian mentalities around Thanksgiving and giving. Nobody wants to give. People deplore it. You have to deserve it. So we're going to talk about all of that a little bit today. I want to remind you that these programs, radio, TV, everything you see on the website at aspire.org is made possible by my sponsors. They are people who see the bigger picture, who are kind enough, compassionate enough to see what the world needs now is love, sweet love, as it is said, but not the love that, you know, we think of through our emotionality. I hope that if you are enjoying this radio program, if you find it helpful, that you'll become a sponsor, or at least make a year-end donation that allows us to continue. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that we are allowed to be here. And if you become a sponsor between now and January 1st or 6th, I think it is, something like that, our mystery donor will match your donation dollar for dollar, cent for cent. And if you make a year-end donation, he will do that as well. He will match it. So now is a very good time to be generous and kind, something that most people are not. And if you're enjoying the programs, I hope you will help us. First question comes from Reynolds. He does not tell me where he lives. It seems to me that Thanksgiving is a joke. I don't really understand it. What does it really mean to be thankful? Why should we be thankful? Reynolds. Reynolds, you share the probably the emotional response that many, not all, but many people do. Why? What is there to be thankful for? You probably come from that generation that believes that everything has to be earned, and if it isn't earned and it isn't deserved, then it isn't worthy of your donation or your giving. And I understand how people like you think. I have faced them, thousands of times in my career. And I also realize that anything I say to you on this beautiful Saturday in November will probably just go by the wayside. You won't really get it. You won't really care. It won't make any sense to you. It probably will not change you. People like myself who are at the lack of people's mercy of giving often find within themselves a profound reservoir of kindness and love floating towards people like you. It took years for that to happen within me and a lot of my own karmic futility, but eventually I matured into the idea of realizing what human cruelty is all about. Giving. When do you give to someone and when don't you? You're driving along and you see a homeless person there with their little sign saying, you know, give me some money, you know, I need food. And you just pass them by because you think to yourself, well, you know, somebody else will do it or they're only going to use it for drugs or alcohol. Everybody has an excuse for their non-giving. And then, you know, there's always the one, all the excuses. I can't give to everybody. I just can't afford it. You know, that kind of thing. So I don't get into those kind of arguments with people because I find them useless and unnecessary. But I do say this to you, and I don't know if this will help you at all. We don't give because we should. We don't give because we ought to. We don't give because it's moral. We don't give any of that. We give because we can, just because you can. And when you feel the depth of that statement, then you will know what it means to give and forgive and love unconscionably. Here's what I've found in my many, many years of being a teacher and my many years of being alive. That the state of my giving is the state of my loving. How is the state of my giving? What is it about? It will be in proportion and reflect into the state of my loving. Why is this important? Because there are certain diseases inwardly, mentally, and emotionally that can only be cured through love, that can only be healed through love. This isn't the passionate love, the emotional love, the crazy kind of human love. And for every gratification that I have, let's say, you know, I see a homeless person or I hear someone like myself who, you know, is, I'm a professional beggar. You know that. I know that. I understand how you think of me. Asking you for your donations, you think, well, I don't want to give to that. That doesn't mean anything. Or I'm not going to give that homeless person. And, you know, he can get it for himself or he should have worked or whatever. Every time we do that, there is a slight, in fact, huge sense of self-righteousness and gratification. It is in that self-righteous and that gratification that you and I learn to love from. I only give to those who agree with me. I only give to those who I think have helped me. I only give to those people who I like. I only give to those people who work as hard as I do or harder than I do. This criteria that we have for giving undermines our entire life, and people don't understand it. When I sit and listen to people in counseling that have come to me, 99 and 9/10 of it is about see how I love and what has kept me from the journey, as Buddha said. How you and I love is the journey of our life. And if I love out of a sense of self-righteousness or pity, or if I love with a deserving thing, I will never mature into anything other than my emotionality. And that's not maturing. That's just placating. And it is there that I develop my karma. So the things that come to me will only be the things that my love will allow. And that might include pain, sorrow, suffering, anger, fear, depression. People are depressed not only because of their chemicals in their body, but because they live out of the genetic heart. That heart that was passed down to you genetically from one ancestor to another, to another, to another, to another. And people do not realize this. They don't think of it in this way. They think, oh, well, if I'm like my father and my mother, that's okay. But what reward have you if you only do the things your ancestors did? You will not progress. You will not flower. You will not become beautiful in a spiritual manner. So how I give and the state of my giving, the rules, I would say, of people's giving, also are the rules of how they love. Ladies, I have said this for years. Forgive me. You know, the people that know me well know what I'm about to say. Ladies, when you're on a date with some dude, watch how he tips the waitress. Really watch. Be attentive. Because how he tips her is how he's going to love you. Eventually, you're going to get that tip. That will be something in your relationship. And guys, when you're dating some chickie, and you can get your head out of your pants and look at the whole thing. Take a look at her mother. If you love her mother, if you like her mother, if you think her mother is wonderful, cool, or whatever, good. Because that's what she's going to turn into eventually. Without an authentic spiritual practice, we just morph into our families. We just morph into them. I watch my students morphing. Half of them are in a practice and the other half of them are entertaining a practice, trying to figure out how to fit that practice into their evil, into their scruffy little minds that think, oh, if I do this, I'll get that. If I don't do that, this will happen. And that's what makes it all so interestingly ugly. And that's what we do. So, Reynolds, you asked me, you don't get Thanksgiving. You don't get the whole idea. Ah, hell. It's about football and food. Just sit there and lavish it up, and don't think about it too much. But be aware, in all the years you are wasting just frivolously living from one holiday to another and not really understanding the nature of these holidays and what they're really all about, you're frivoling your life away, as I like to call it. And this frivoling that I call it is about not living consciously. It is true. With what measure you meet will be measured back to you in many different forms. It might be something for you to look at. I don't know, Reynolds. I've never been successful, as I said, of converting people. I don't try to. I just explain and walk away. And most people are shaking their heads. I cannot but remember the rich man that came to Jesus, to Jesus, and said, you know, I've kept the commandments from my youth up. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. How do I obtain eternal life? And Jesus looked at the man and said, give up everything you have. Give your treasures to the poor. Come and take up your cross and follow me. The man literally walked away from Jesus, literally. Many people did. Don't think that people flocked to him. The things he was saying, the things he was teaching, were not popular at all. And this one isn't going to be any more popular, what I've given you, than what he said. Give up everything and come and follow me and find treasure, he said, in heaven, which means within you. Who the hell believes that anymore, huh? Or whoever did? No one. Reynolds, good luck to you, and please forgive me. Namaste. Can you see him rolling his eyes going, geez, I wish I hadn't asked that one. Every so often I get a question from him, and they're always on that genre, and they're good. So I use them from time to time. Next one comes from Sandy in Temecula. What is behind the madness of Christmas and giving and all the franticness, really? Sandy. Well, Sandy, it's about making moolah. Jesus wasn't born in December. So it has nothing to do with Jesus. That Jesus is not the reason for the season, as the Christians say. It's money. It's capitalism that is the reason for the season. Nevertheless, there are some very good things about the way we screw up Christmas. And I'm sure you're going to go, what? Well, you know, in some ways, it forces us to look at the way we give. Now, I've always thought that the premise of giving was a very interesting thing, told more about the person than we would really want anyone to know. We give to our family. We give to close friends. You know, we give. You remember the Mullah Nasruddin story? His boss gave him a beautiful bottle of brandy for Christmas. And after New Year's, the boss came back to him and said, Nasruddin, did you enjoy that bottle of brandy I gave you? And Nasruddin looked at him and said, oh, yes, yes, it was just right. And the boss said, what do you mean just right? He said, well, if it had been any less a bottle of brandy, you would have given it to someone else. And if it had been any more, a better bottle of brandy, you wouldn't have given it to me anyway. So what you gave me was just right. And that's exactly the way we give, in proportion to our likes and dislikes, in proportion to what we think people deserve, in proportion to who's important to us. That's the way we give. And we give it kind of as a way to say, see, I love you. I love you. Now, you got to love me back. You owe me. It's obligatory giving, and it is awful, and it causes a great deal of karma. It is the cancer of our culture and our society. Believe me, it is. So how should one give? I mean, really? Well, I've always thought it was rather interesting. And I've thought this for a long time, and believe it or not, I've done it. Whether you believe it or not, I have. And my students will know. I mean, they know me. They know how I am. They know I did this. I do it every year. I pick some person who has been unkind to me. somebody who has been very cruel. I don't tell them who the gift is from. They never find out. They can't find out. But I send them the gift. And I send it to them with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. And I thank them. They don't know who it's from. They'll never know. They probably will think it's from someone that admires them or someone that they did something for and they think that they're getting their just reward. But that is not so. I am just loving them and I am grateful because I've always thought it is so easy for me to give to the people I love. And to the people I dearly love, I give year round. I don't wait till Christmas or Thanksgiving to give my gift. I really don't, Sandy. I just give the gift. And I've always felt that it was harder to give to someone who hurt me badly than it is to give to someone who's gratified me greatly. So that's what I do. It is not, I can't afford a lavish gift, but it is a gift. And it's more than a just right gift. It's a gift of tremendous gratitude. Now, I suggest that any of you who are looking at your giving and your givingness, that you give one gift this year to someone who you don't particularly care for. Maybe someone who has hurt you, someone who has despitefully used you, and do it anonymously. Because if you do it with your name on it, it sets all sorts of craziness in motion. It just, you don't need that aggravation. But if you give it because you can, because you are doing something out of the box within yourself and you can do it with your totality. Now, the key to this is to do it with your totality, your total essence, your total heart, just like you would, well, better than you would somebody in your family who you cared about or you think you love. Now, if you understand that, if you can get that, you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. You will gain tremendous merit for everything you give. And everything you give will have, well, consequences to it. Literally, consequences to it. What are those consequences? Well, in this case, love, kindness, and forgiveness. You will see things in their right light, in their most loving light. And you will no longer be fooled. You will find different things. I have found for myself different things occurring. An equilibrium starts to happen in my life. I start to feel that ebb and flow more deeply. And I realize I'm walking the middle road. It does me no good at all to give to the people that I love for the sake of telling them I love them. If they don't know now, they never will. So there's no amount of gift. No amount. No matter what you give, it's only proof of your loving, your emotionalism. And if you have to do that, then there's no love between you. Find someone that you don't care for. Someone that has been unkind. And I'll tell you, it has really changed a lot of things in my karma, in my life. And I share this with you wholeheartedly and in ultimate truth. It really has changed things. I no longer look at people the way I used to when I was way younger. I no longer look at people and think, well, what can you do for me? Or what do I have to do for you to get you to do for me? All of that is gone. And all of a sudden, a new realm has opened up within me. A realm not of thinking, but of consciousness. I start to feel what I can't think, and I don't bother to try to think it because it's only to be felt, not to be thought. And once you're in that modality, you can do a lot of wonderful things with your life, and in the course of your lifetime, many beautiful things will occur. So that's the madness to me of Christmas, Sandy. It is about using it in a way that perpetuates the evolution of my own spiritual metamorphosis. And if you can do that, if you can see the validity of that and how important that can be in your life, then you can take this Christmas time and instead of going, well, he wasn't born on the 25th of December, this is all a big sham, and get all cynical, you can use this time to be very generous, very kind, both to the people who have helped you and love you, and to the people who have maybe driven you to the people who have helped you and loved you via their, shall we say, cruelty. You never know. Sometimes the cruelty of others brings us to the remorse of ourselves. That's very important. Please forgive me. Namaste. Bet you that went over like a fart in church, huh? Last one. Thomas doesn't tell me where he lives. How do I give, as you say, so there is no me in my giving, no giver in my giving? Thomas. Thomas, you are very astute. You heard me talk about this. A gift is not a gift if there is a giver. If there is a giver to a gift, then it becomes obligatory. It becomes something else. It becomes some obligation, some reward. And if a gift is a matter of reward, then I am missing the gift in my giving. The key to giving is to give without there being a giver. I do not give you this gift of this radio program, this satsang, my discourses, my TV programs. They are just gifts and they speak for themselves. If I give them to you, then they're tainted with expectation, hope, and desire. And that would not be good for you, and that would not be good for the program. That would not be good for any of us. I watch people like Oprah and these people who give lavish gifts, and they do it publicly so people can see, look how wealthy I am. Look how much I've given. How much better it would be to give a gift that is beyond the giver. And a gift is only a gift when there is no giver. When there is a giver, it is goner. That's my own saying. If I give to you and I make you know that I'm giving to you, or I know that I'm giving to you, the gift becomes tainted deeply. And that becomes a part of my karma. So that's why people say, I didn't deserve this. I gave this and I gave that. And they whine and wet their pants all the time because they want to be acknowledged for their gift. But the greatest gifts in the world are to give gifts that no one knows about. They don't know where it comes from, who it comes from. It is just a gift. And there is no giver to it. The gift speaks for itself. Now that, my dear one, is a gift. And that is the only way to counteract and change my past and the dubiousness of it, and bring it into this moment in loving ways that bring about karma that produces great consciousness. Karma is there to show me consciousness, to produce consciousness within me. It's not to make my life easier, better, or reward me with lavish praises or whatever. It is about achieving a sense of consciousness. And where there is selflessness, there is consciousness. I hear ministers and teachers and all sorts of crazy people say, you got to find out who you are, to know who you are, to find your true self. No, you don't. That's not true at all. You only make up your true self. Your true self is without face. Your true self is without human form. Your true self is spaciousness. And it has nothing to do with what someone might think of you or what you might think of you. Any self you would create is the pomposity of the ego. And I wouldn't go there if I were you, any of you. So, my dear Thomas, you ask, how do I give so there is no giver. Give without expectation. Give without desire. Give without pride. Give without thinking that you're a better person for your giving or whatever. Just give. Understand that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And you are here as both. Maybe that will help you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. If you have a comment or question or something I could be of service to you in, come to the website here at aspire.org. And you will see contact, and just click on it and send me an email and make a donation today. Be selfless. Be the giver that no one knows about. Have a beautiful day. Talk to you tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.